And my topic deals with biological control and non-target impacts. The practice of biological control was initiated more than a century ago. It was for a long time considered an environmentally safe approach, but now it is known that it can cause a negative impact on native and desirable organisms. Nevertheless, biocontrol is often seen as the only feasible option to control invasive species, not only in agricultural settings, but also in natural areas. This faces with a challenge since currently there is no generalized risk assessment procedures, at least in the United States. The study that I'm presenting to you today is set in Hawaii, and Hawaii is the most isolated island chain on Earth and has a higher proportion of invasive species than any other place of similar size, has a very high rate of endemism, and there has been more than 700 introductions made in the past 100 years. It has also been the center of controversy regarding non-target impacts of biological control. This started with the publication of Francis Howard in the 1980s, and in this publication he claimed extinction of native Lepidoptera species due to attacks by purposely introduced species. After this, more quantitative studies started on the islands, such as the one by Henneman and Memmott in a remote site on the island of Kauai, and they found that most of the parasitoid species associated with larvae of native Lepidoptera species were actually purposely introduced. Some other studies, such as the one by Johnson et al. On purposely introduced parasitoids to control the green stingbug Nessara viridula, they found that impacts of these purposely introduced species on native species were actually minimal when compared to effects caused by accidental introductions. So even when we can detect non-target parasitism, it might not mean that there is an impact at the population level. The non-target species subject of this study is Judea stellata, order Lepidoptera, family Crambidae. The host plants are the also endemic Pipteros spp in the family Urticacea. And in laboratory studies, we determined that this moth undergoes 6 larval stages. The parasitoids associated with this endemic moth are 7, 3 in the category adventive or accidental introduced, 2 in the category unknown, unknown origin, and 2 purposely introduced parasitoids. Cotitia marginiventris and Meteorus lapigmae were introduced to control sugarcane pests. The objective of this study is to determine the relative contribution of parasitoids on the population dynamics of Judea stellata by constructing partial life tables. The studies were carried on 3 islands, in the island of Kauai at the Koke State Park, on Oahu at 3 sites, and on the island of Hawaii or Big Island on 2 sites. These sites vary especially in elevation and level of disturbance. So what do we need for these studies? We had to establish colonies of the non-target moth, and since we conducted the studies on 3 different islands, we had to keep 3 different colonies, each one starting from larvae field collected from the respective island. We also raised plants from seeds, each from the respective island, and we used the 6 different instars of the moth. So what did we do in the field and in the lab? First, we have to transport the plants to the field. And once there, we deploy sentinel larvae on sentinel plants at a density of 4 larvae per plant. We deployed all different instars at the same time, and keeping different instars on different plants. We had 2 treatments, open and exclusion treatments. Open and exclusion, and in the open treatment, the larvae were exposed to parasitism and predation, whereas in the exclusion treatment, we put a fine mesh over the plants to exclude any predators or parasitoids. The larvae were left in the field for 3 full days, and after this time, we came back and we retrieved the larvae. We brought them back to the lab for rearing, and then emerging parasitoids were identified, first pin and then identified. With this data, we constructed partial life tables using the method described by Morris and Miller. We also calculated marginal attack rates and the associated K values or killing powers, which allow comparisons of mortality factors among sites. And now I will show you some results. Now this slide shows the K values by larval stage across sites in the open and exclusion treatment. The x-axis shows the different larval stages, the y-axis shows the K values, and the different color bars represent the different mortality factors. Like for example, the line in beige represents disappearance, the line in turquoise represents death due to unknown reasons, and then the different colors, the other colors represent the different parasitoids reared from the exposed larvae, such as the color blue and red represent the purposely introduced species. So bear in mind that the axis is different for the two different graphs, and we can see here that in the open treatment, the figure on the top, the major mortality factor was disappearance, whereas in the exclusion treatment, the major mortality factor was death due to unknown reason. There was in the open treatment, we have a higher rate of disappearance that was significantly higher compared to the exclusion treatment. Now, I have to say here that in the exclusion treatment, we have a very high recovery rate that was 92%, so that means a high surge efficiency, which suggests that the main cause of disappearance in the open treatment might have been predation. Also, in this study, we did not dissect larvae that died due to unknown reason, but there was no significant difference between death due to unknown reason between the two treatments. So this suggests that other causes, such as natural mortality or stress, were the cause of this type of mortality rather than parasitism. Now, if we look at parasitism in the open treatment, we see that they contributed the least to total mortality. Adventive parasitoids such as Triclistus, the line in green, and Tratalaphrum orbitalis in gray were the ones that had the highest K values due to parasitism. The next, this slide shows the K values by site across all larval stages in the open treatment. In this case, the x-axis shows the different sites with information on elevation and island, and the y-axis shows the K values. Here also the different color lines represent the different mortality factors that I explained before. And so what we can get from this slide is that the main mortality factor across all sites was disappearance, followed by death due to unknown reason. And parasitism caused had the least contribution to total mortality. The parasitoids Triclistus and Tratalaphrum orbitalis in green and gray had the highest contribution to mortality in almost all sites. And the purposely introduced species that you cannot really see here were actually recorded in sites like Coque, Kipukaki, and Olaa, that were the ones in higher elevations. So to summarize the findings of this study, there was low impact of parasitoid species in this study system. Adventive parasitoids inflicted greater total mortality compared to introduced species. Disappearance was the major mortality factor in this experiment because there was a higher disappearance on the open treatment when compared to the exclusion treatment. This suggests that predation might have been the main cause of this disappearance. And parasitism by different species varied across sites, that is, this might be because of contrasting ecological factors. So we can conduct this type of study because they help us build case histories to look for patterns and predict outcomes of future introductions. Doing that, we can identify key biological and ecological factors that might be underlying these non-target effects and can be incorporated in order to propose generalized quantitative risk assessment procedures. So biocontrol can continue to be a tool to control invasive species. Finally, I would like to acknowledge all these people and organizations, and if you have any questions, I will be glad to take them now.